Blog Talk Radio.
All right, my brothers and sisters. We want to thank you once again for being a part and for tuning in to Praise Tabernacle Church Tuesday night Bible study. And I tell you, as we've done previously, there's another great word from the Lord, and we're honored to be here in his presence, honored to be on Chaos Blog Talk Radio. We thank God again for our engineer, Elder Derek Oliver, who has so graciously, through the grace of God, awarded us this opportunity to be able to reach the thousands through our Chaos Blog Talk Radio broadcast. And once again, on tonight, we're here, and we're here in Jesus' name. We have, for the first time in a few weeks or so, about a month or so, we have our full panel. We have Elder Victor Blewett. He's over our Sunday school. He's our Sunday school superintendent. He's on tonight. We have Elder Richard Taylor. He's over our Elders Council. He's on tonight. We also have Evangelist Dove Stanton. She's going to be our teacher on tonight. Amen. And so honored to have my precious wife, Lady Zachary, back with us on tonight. Well, we are missing Deacon Stanton. He's normally on tonight, so we are missing him. But so glad to have all of you. Amen. So glad to have my precious wife back with us on our Tuesday night Bible study. She's been running so over the past month, dealing with the death of her mother and things like that, handling that business. So we're glad to have her back on. I'm not going to prolong the time. I'm going to say a quick prayer, and then we're going to turn it over to Evangelist Stanton to lead us into our Bible study on tonight. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We give you glory. Once again, we thank you for this opportunity for us to come together in spirit and in truth. And we thank you for the word that's going to be brought forth on tonight. We pray that you would touch the message and the messenger, crown her head with wisdom and knowledge, and let us, your people, receive what you're saying unto the church on tonight. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Evangelist Stanton.
Thank you, Pastor. I appreciate that. We thank and praise God for each and every one of you on tonight. Tonight, we are going to come from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 16. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 16. So if you would find that on tonight. And why are you looking for it? I just want to give you a little previous history right before we dig into this Matthew chapter 5. We see in chapter 4 where Jesus was tempted of the devil, and he came out of that temptation with the word of God. And then he goes on kind of ordaining and collecting some of his disciples. And we also see that, you know, he let the disciples know that he can make them fishers of men and not just fishermen, which were their profession. Jesus went about all in Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. And his fame went throughout all of Syria, and people brought to him the sick and those who had diseases and were tormented and were possessed with devils and the lunatic and just everything. And there followed him a great multitude of people from Galilee. And in this chapter 5, we see where Jesus has gone up to the mountain and began to teach not only his disciples. I'm sure some of the crowd were there, even though you really don't see that. But we know that there were a lot of people that were following Jesus, so there may have been some other people there. So we're going to start with chapter 5, verse 1. And it reads, and seeing the multitudes, he went up unto mountain. And when he was set, came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, I know that these blessings have been labeled the Beatitudes. And Beatitude means happy, blessed. But I want you to understand it's a happy, blessed, not like the world. It refers to a state of great joy, happiness, not from the things of this world, something that is not temporary. This joy, which sorrow, loss, pain, and grief are powerless to touch. So I want you to keep that in mind as we go through these blessings. And as I was reading this, to me, it almost is like a blueprint for Christians. It's really an encouraging word, too. And as we dig into more, you understand what I'm saying. Verse 5, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. Now, in the Jewish tradition, when a rabbi or a teacher was beginning to teach, what they would do is they would sit down. And in this scripture, that's what it's saying. He sat down and the disciples came to listen and be taught. And he opened up his mouth and taught them, saying, now I know it may seem that he should open up his mouth, you know, that you would assume, but in this context, it shows a posture of he really wanted them to get it. He needed them to hear what he was getting ready to teach. He really needed them to listen. He was getting ready to lay a blueprint of the Christian life. Then we go to the first blessing, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Who are the poor in spirit? The poor in spirit is the man who realized his own utter helplessness and who knows he has to put his whole trust in God.
Right.
Your things will become your resource and not your source. Poverty is not only a physical condition, it's also a spiritual one. Mm-hmm. Think about you don't have money or when you don't have resources, you know, you feel like you may be poor in those areas because you don't have those physical things, money or not enough money or not enough resources. You know, people may say that you're poor. Well, if you don't have God, if you don't have his word, if you don't have prayer, if you don't have praise and worship and testimony in your life, you're poor in spirit.
Mm. Yeah.
You're poor in spirit. So he's saying, blessed is the man who realizes that you are poor in spirit.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
If Christ, if you don't have the love of God in your heart, does anyone have anything that I would like to say about verse 3?
Nope, not yet.
Amen.
Yeah,
so,
that's good. Let me just real quick. You are hitting a point already that's real good for the humans, for us today, for mankind today, to understand that it's not about where you are in society. It's not about the corporate ladder that you've climbed that makes you closer to God. It's not about the size of your house, the type of car you drive, you know, how many degrees you have that makes you closer to God. Because we must understand, especially historically back then, you know, it was those ones that were considered high class that they would look to, you know, the Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes, you know, people that was distinguished, that they would look to concerning spiritual things. And we also must remember that historically Israel or the Jewish people, when the Messiah came, they thought he was coming, you know, to set up his earthly kingdom and, you know, deliver them from the rule of Rome and all these things. Now here Jesus is coming. Now he's teaching, you know, kind of opposite on what they were expecting. And it kind of changed the whole dynamic, you know, and their view. So he's teaching them, and you're bringing it out already, such a great point. It's not just to those that have status. You know, the kingdom of heaven is not just to those that, you knows how to have church, knows how to dress, you know how to do the traditional thing. It's to those that are poor in spirit, people that know that spiritually they are bankrupt and that they need God. You know, people that know that they are destined for hell, know that, you know, there's nothing good to them or nothing good, you know, for them, you know, so to speak. So they understand that they need a savior, you know, and that's where we got to get to the point and help people understand Jesus saved from the guttermost to the utmost. You know, he don't care nothing about what school, you know, he don't care if you went to Harvard. He don't care if you have a college degree. All that is good, but that's not what he's concerned with. So that poor in spirit, you know, we have to understand that you can't earn the kingdom of heaven. You know, you need mercy and grace. But we are saved by grace through faith. So I just want to throw that in. Great. You're starting out with such great. Keep it going. Thank you.
That's great, Pastor. Yes. Yes, sir. And I had wrote, when you're depleted of the things of the world, just like what Pastor was just saying, you know, your things, yes, you have your things, but when you are depleted of those things, then you can realize your need and dependency upon God, because things are so temporary. They're so temporary. So here it is, Jesus began to deal with people in their heart level to see where they were. It's such a personal thing. You know, that's an examination for you on tonight.
where are you in your spirit? Where what is overtaking your spiritual man so that you don't seem like you're poor in spirit? Have you been emptied out? Have you been willing to give yourself to God so that you can have that joy that's not the world, that you can have that happiness that's not contingent upon the things around you?
That's good.
Amen.
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 We're gonna go to verse 4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now, I remember reading the Beatitudes years ago, and I used to, every time I saw blessed are they that mourn, for there shall be comforted, I only thought it was like for people who lost a loved one or who may have gone through something, so they mourn and they will be comforted. But God really started to show me, when you have a sorrowful heart, not only for yourself, but for the world around you, you mourn.
Yeah.
And when I mean a sorrowful heart, when you begin to examine yourself and what you look like before God, you begin to mourn. You begin to say, God, I'm sorry. I look at what I must look like before you. Without Christ, you look like a liar. You look like somebody that causes confusion. You look like a gossiper. And when you start to see yourself that way, you get born before God. And you're like, oh, my God, what must I look like?
Wow.
Godly grief hurts. And I wrote down a scripture, 2 Corinthians 7 and 10. It says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Have you gotten to the point in your life when you mourn what you're looking like? Does it?
No, I'm enjoying this.
That
me
hurt.
Too.
Praise God. That hurt, that mourning should lead us to repentance.
Amen.
It's a pain that frees the believer from regret. In the end, a Christian, a person can be glad for the grief that it brought them back to the path of life, which is Christ. And that's what that mourning. So when you mourn, you're going to be comforted because you're on the right path to go to Christ. You're saying, you know what? What must I look like before him? You're not worried about what you look like before the world, because before the world, You want to show the outward appearance, but God sees the inward appearance.
Right.
And
come
when you get that, when you begin to mourn before Christ, you say, what must I look like before you? I'm not worried about what I look like before the world. What do I look like before you? Does anyone have anything to say before verse 5?
This is you doing a great job. You're doing a great job. Great job. And if I could add anything, and I don't have much to add because you're teaching it. You're in it. But God just simply saying these Beatitudes, is God just simply saying, come as you are. And those who have the courage to come as you are. He gives these attitudes that you have, the attitudes. This is the attitude we should bring to him. And you're doing a great job. Blessed are the poor in spirit. I mean, how many of us can rightly say, well, I don't know this, that, or the other when it comes to church or to God's word? How many of us can humble ourselves and say, I need more, right? How many of us can do that? When we humble ourselves, it's in humbling our spirit also.
Yes.
See? And the few words to that beginning is confessing our sins before
Him. Right.
Taking our that people have helped us build up. God said, if you would humble yourself and come unto me, and this is the perfect example of what you're talking about, and the humbleness we should have before God, and bring to Him the talents He gave us, but the talents we don't know how to use yet for His will.
Right.
Great job.
Yeah.
We're going to move on to verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meekness, and just as Elder was talking about that humbleness, meekness is a humble attitude that expresses itself in the patient enduring of offenses. Meekness is not weakness.
Right.
It is a power to stay under control. I mean, think about it. You know, somebody comes at you. You have all the words that you could say, but meekness will allow you to take control of your mouth.
Come on now.
That's good right there.
That's what meekness does. And it's not a sign of weakness. You know, people think, oh, because I didn't go back at them or I didn't spill the tea. I hear that expression, I didn't spill the tea. Well, if you spill the tea, that's making a mess. I don't know about anybody else, but anytime I spilled some tea on my table, that was a mess that
right.
I had to clean up.
Right.
Try to spill the tea and make a mess that needs to be cleaned up, you need to hold your cup.
Come on now. Come on.
Watch out.
That's
that
what
now.
We can do. And I do have a scripture, Proverbs 16:32. It says, he slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Wow.
Yes. Yes.
That's good.
Yeah, I call us to be slow to anger, calling us to walk in that humbleness. There is a joy, not like the world, in walking in that humbleness and having that meekness of spirit. Does anyone have anything they would like to say?
Nope.
Okay. So we're going to go on to verse.
Hey, hold on, Evangelist. Your sister got something to say. I had her on mute. But she want to come in.
This is really, really good, really encouraging. I'm just glad to be back. I thought of Psalms 37 as a reference scripture as well. It says, the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. And when you were talking about the tea, even when, you know, spilling the tea, and sometimes with tea, some people like their tea hot, some people like it cold. But even with your meekness, you have to be patient. You have to wait on God. If that cup is hot, you just got to hold that cup and continue to be patient and wait on God, even in your pain, even in your sorrow, because God can fix anything. And He can do anything but fail. So if we can continue to keep that spirit of meekness, God will continue to carry us through.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. That's all. Anyone else? Okay. We're going to go on to verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, in this verse, I thought about how I get when I'm hungry. I'm going to start seeking food or some water. I'm going after it.
I mean, if I'm hungry, I'm going after it. If I'm thirsty,
right,
I'm going after it. You know, if I'm out and about, I'm looking for a store. I'm trying to find the road to get to where I can get to fulfill
yeah.
that hunger, that thirst. So to hunger for righteousness is to be hungry and thirsty for God's rule in our lives. How intense is our desire for righteousness that we go after God with everything that we have because we're hungry, we're thirsty, we want to know who he is, not just what he can do in our lives, but we want to know who he is in our lives.
Yeah.
There's a hunger. Think about it. When you're hungry and thirsty, think about your worst day that you couldn't get to some water. Your mouth was dry. All you could think about was a nice, tall, cold glass of water
or whatever. Watch out now.
You know, that's what was on your mind. And you're like, you know what? I'm going to get to it, whatever it takes. We should have that same hunger and thirst after God.
Yes.
After his word. To know who he is in our lives. And when we are hungry and thirsty, God is going to fulfill that. He's going to reveal
yes.
himself to you because of that hunger and thirst. Does anybody have anything they would like to say?
Real quick, before Elder Blue and Elder Taylor try to take over, you teaching on the night, my sister. I was thinking
yes.
about earlier today, this has really been going on with me kind of since all of this has been going on with the corona and kind of been shut in the house and things like that. But and also identifying the constant fight between or the war between the flesh and the spirit. I've had several instances where I was just laying in the bed watching, you know, a movie or watching a whole game on YouTube, you know, football game or something. And then the Spirit of God, which I know it has to be the Spirit of God, because I know the devil ain't going to tell me to read my Bible. I know he ain't going to tell me to pray. I know the devil ain't going to tell me, to, you know, to get in the Word. But the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, speak to me in a still small voice, speak to my spirit and say, hey, now's a good time to get in your word, to study, to I got some new things I want to reveal, some new things I want to show to you. And at that moment, my flesh will say, no, let me just lay here for a little while longer. Let me enjoy this game. So immediately a war takes place in my spirit, between my spirit and my flesh. And then my spirit will remind me and say, now, you know, the devil ain't going to tell you to read the word of God. So are you going to obey? Are you going to lay in the bed and just continue to do what your flesh wants and think you're going to get the victory over your flesh? Or are you going to obey the spirit of God, like we're saying, hunger and thirst after righteousness, so then you can be filled? When something is filled, I feel, my God, I got to wait to Friday night, but I feel happy again.
Come on.
When something is filled, that means nothing else can get in. Watch it. When you are filled, okay, y'all were just talking about the tea. When that cup is filled, nothing else can get in. And that's where we are. We get in trouble because we are constantly, if we're not careful, constantly giving out, and we're running on empty spiritually.
Come on now.
And then if we're running empty spiritually and then we begin to fill up naturally, then we're going to fulfill the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. But if we stay filled spiritually, then nothing from the world can get in because we're already filled up with the things of God.
That's right.
Watch out.
All right. That's good. That's good. Amen, Pastor. Amen. Does anyone anyone have anything else to say before we go to a quick break, and then we'll come back and go to chapter to verse 7. Does anyone else have anything to say before our break?
Say this just one little thing. Verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. When you're trying to go in the right direction for God, a lot of people around us. Mm-hmm. And when you thirsting for righteousness and you're
right.
going that way and God is drawing you, believe me, some people in your life are going to fall off. God don't
right.
want us to keep with us if they're willing to fall off on their own. And we got a problem with people that are seasonal, people that are lifetime. People are just for the moment. We can't,
right.
we can't deter who's supposed to be in our life. But if we're seeking righteousness, believe me, those who are made to stay with you while you seek to have less luggage, they will fall off, and those that you need to inspire you and keep you going will be with you. But that's good. Thirsting for righteousness of God is going to take some falling off first so you can get on that road, have less to hold on to and more to let go so you can get filled.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Sorry. Y'all go ahead.
Okay,
well,
go ahead.
Look, hello. Hold on. Before that commercial break, Evangelist.
Yes.
Listen, Elder Bluette just reminded me of something I said on Sunday when I was preaching. Some people are in your life for a reason, but then there are some that are in your life for a season. And we have to learn to distinguish the two. We got to know who's in there for a season, meaning a period of time. You remember, I preached Sunday, leave me alone. Leave me alone. We got to know the season, a period of time, and then there's a reason. What's the cause? So those that are in our life for a reason, we need to know the cause. What's the reason? What's the cause? Why are you here? And then that season, how long are you here? You're only here for a period of time. You're not meant to go all the way with me. You're only meant to go to a point, and then I have to have the power to tell you to leave me alone.
Yes.
If you're not helping.
Come on.
Yes, sir.
We got to go ahead and take a break. Thank you, Elder Oliver.
Everybody say bless, say bless, say bless.
Yeah.
So glad that you joined us this evening for our Tuesday night Bible study. We would like to give you the opportunity to be a blessing to the ministry. There are two ways that you can give on tonight. Our first way is by Cash App, and our Cash App is $PTC877. Once again, that is $P as in praise, T as in tabernacle, C as in church, 877. Or if you would like to give by Cash App, debit card or PayPal, you can call 678-760-6056. Once again, if you would like to give by debit or credit card or PayPal, you can reach us at 678-760-6056. We are so glad that you decided to join us tonight. We are in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, and we're going into verse 7. Matthew, chapter 5, verse 7. And it reads, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." To be merciful is to show forgiveness and compassion. Who are we not to forgive and show compassion to others when Christ, when God is so merciful with us? And he displays that mercy and that grace every morning that we get up. It's renewed every morning. That mercy is renewed every morning. So this scripture is saying we've got to also show mercy to others. That means we can't walk around holding grudges. We can't walk around holding unforgiveness. We can't walk around being angry at what somebody said to us 5 years ago and holding on to it. Because all we're doing is manifesting disease inside of us, holding on to that. God forgave and will forgive each and every one of us when we ask for forgiveness. That's his mercy. So who are we to hold on to what somebody else did to us? We've got to show mercy as well. Would anybody like to anything to say about verse 7?
Doing a great job.
Thank you, sir. Praise God. We're going to go on to verse 8. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God."
Mm-hmm.
To be pure means to be clean, blameless, unstained from guilt. Being pure in heart involves having a singleness of heart towards God. The only way we can truly have a pure heart is to give our lives to Jesus and ask him to do a cleansing work in us. It's not something we can obtain on our own. I can't say to myself, "Dove, you're going to have a pure heart today." No, I got to go before God. I've got to empty myself before him and ask him to fill me up. I got to invite the Holy Spirit to come into those dry places, those dark places, and to fill me with his light. I do have a scripture reference that I use with this, a scripture that a lot of people know, Psalms 51 and 10. It says, "Create in me a heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me."
Right.
That's the only way we're going to get a pure heart, a clean heart, is through Christ. We can't do it on our own. We can't say, "Well, you know, I'm just going to give up this. I'm going to give up this cigarette by myself." No, you need the help of the Holy Spirit to give up that cigarette, that addiction. I'm going to stop doing, you know, drinking, or I'm going to stop going over to Susie Q house, or I'm going to stop going over to Big Daddy house, you know. No, you can't do it without Christ.
Right.
You've got to have Christ in order to have a pure heart. Would anybody like anything to say about verse 8 before we move on to verse 9?
I'm so glad that God knows the heart. I think that, if I'm not mistaken, y'all correct me if I'm wrong, but I think when it came to Samuel, God had told Samuel to go to the house of Jesse because he had him a new king there. Jesse went and Samuel went and he called the first 7 of Jesse's sons, thinking that one of them was the new king. I think this is how that went. But then God ended up telling Samuel, don't look on the outward appearance, For man looks on the outward appearance. See, that outward appearance got them in. That's how they got Saul, the first king of Israel. So God tells Samuel, don't look on the outward, but look on the heart. Okay, and I'm so glad that sometimes people can develop and look at you and already develop, you know, their thoughts on who you are and what you're going to do and things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, they will limit you, you know, but God looks on the heart. And God judges the heart of man. And I'm so grateful that God sees our heart. And if we need that pure heart, okay, if we need him to cleanse us and to create in us, as Evangelist just stated, creating us a clean heart, he's able to do that. You can't get that through any other entity or any other agency or anyone else. You have to go through God in order to get that. You need the Holy Spirit. You need Jesus Christ. You need the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost in order to come in and cleanse us, and purify our heart, purify our blood. I think about those that have, I think it's dialysis, where they have to go in and get their blood, run through the machine to purify and cleanse and take all the poisons and different things that's not that the kidneys or whatever is not able to do. They have to go there to get that done. And spiritually, that's what we have to do. We got to sit down and allow the Word of God to cleanse us, to purify us, take out malice, take out envy, take out lust, take out lying. Yeah. You know, take out things that is hindering us so that we can become closer and then have that pure heart that God is talking about here in the Word.
Amen. Amen. There's a test that we could all use. The Word says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So
come on.
That's to determine what your heart is saying. What are your words like?
Wow.
What are your words like? What are you saying when people hear you talk? What's coming out of your mouth? Because guess what?
Wow.
That's what's in your heart. And that shows a lot of who you really are.
Amen.
Of who you are. You, I mean, whatever you speak, I mean, it says it's for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Mm-hmm.
So have to examination and think about the words that you're speaking. Now, it doesn't give you right just because you can say it that you should say it.
Come on.
It doesn't give you a right to say it. I'm here to tell you. Yeah, we may get sick and tired. We get frustrated, but it doesn't give you a right to say whatever you want to say. You need to examine your heart, examine your words to see what's coming out of your heart. And if your heart is not speaking what God wants you to speak, you need to ask God to purify your heart.
Yeah. Or you can shut up.
Okay.
That's good. Huh?
Okay.
You're doing good. You're doing great.
Praise God. We're going to go on to verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Jesus laid down his life to make peace between God and sinners. And when we carry that message of peace to others, we are also peacemakers.
Yes.
We are to share the word of God with others. God delights in those who reconcile others to him. Those who bring the gospel are beautiful. And I do have a scripture reference, Isaiah 52:7, and it reads, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that brings good tidings, that publisheth, that bringeth good tidings of
good,
that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth." Now, that's bringing some good news. That's bringing some good news. Not your opinion of how I should do something, but bring the good news of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And you are God, a peacemaker. Does anyone have anything to say about him?
Go ahead. Evangelist Stanton, you just blessed my heart tonight. And I'm so grateful that I am a child of God. And as I was reading this and studying this, it's as if God is telling us, well, Jesus is telling us, if you do this, it's a promise behind it. It's a promise behind. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And even, so on, is telling, if you do this, then this will happen. And so many times, as I remember our bishop telling us, that even just backtracking a little bit, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Sometimes you have to guard, not sometimes, all the time, you have to guard your thoughts by prayer and fasting. You have to guard your mind, because an idle mind is the devil's workshop. So as our feet, as my husband was saying, in that time when God speaks to you to open your word, open your Bible, obey the voice of the Lord, because he can be keeping you. He can be keeping the enemy from putting thoughts into your heart and into your mind. And, this is just very, very encouraging. And I'm just glad to be a part of the number tonight. Just one more time, because even when Bishop, just backtrack a little bit, but as we were talking about the cup and the cup being sealed, and I said through this quarantine that we've been going through, my prayer is, even with this message tonight, God, fill me up. Fill my cup until it overflows. God, I want more of you. I desire more of you. God, fix me if I'm broken. God, heal. God, deliver. God, make a way. But God, I want my cup to overflow to the point to where if it's overflowing by me, it can't help but touch pastor. It can't help but touch my sister. It can't help but touch my brother, my friend, my siblings, whoever. But God, continue, God, to give me that promise and help me to obey your word and to stay in your will, because it's not my will. But God, it's your will will be done tonight. Yes, God.
All right. All right.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
I want to add one thing to it, if you don't mind. I think it's in 1 Corinthians or either 2 Corinthians. I'm not sure. But somebody correct me if I'm wrong, where Paul said, as much as lieth in you, live as much as you yourself. Live peaceably with all men, all women, everybody. And
that's it.
Paul knew that was going to be, a threat, or it's going to come with the attitude that you're reading now, Evangelist. It's as much as life, as much strength as you have. Live peaceably with all men. In other words, you gotta want peace to distribute peace. You gotta want. For people to just, I hear you. I disagree. As long as we can agree to disagree, we can move on and we'll still be friends. Much as we got to put in that every day. We got to. We have to. Because of this flesh, because of the things going on in our families, our lives, things that's in the background of our minds, and then when somebody steps to us or we run into a situation, like First Lady said, we gotta speak slow. Speak slow, and think about what you're saying. Saying it to the words that we put out, they are received, and we can't take them back. We can't take them back. They're there, And death and life is in our tongue. And not only that, how we can make a person feel from that, from just what we say to them or how we treat them. But as much as life in you, as much as you have in yourself, do it. Do the best you can to live peaceably with everybody. Yes.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen. Okay, we're going to go on to verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I wrote down, some people suffer for doing evil, but that is a punishment, not persecution. And some are persecuted for reasons unrelated to righteousness. But Jesus wasn't offering a general blessing to all for any cause. He offered it to those who are persecuted for actively pursuing the kingdom of righteousness and because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Righteousness means more than just being a good person. It refers to a complete orientation of life towards God and His will. This kind of righteousness is highly visible. To endure persecution for the sake of righteousness requires uncompromising faithfulness to God despite every threat or pressure.
Watch out.
When you live a life for Christ, you're going to lose some people. You're going to maybe even family members. You know, they may say things like, oh, you think you holier than thou, or, you know, like you don't sin or you don't mess up. You know, they may say things like that to you. They may persecute you for loving Christ and saying, well, you love him too much, or what kind of church do you go to? Is it a cult? Because you worship and you serve God with all of your heart. You're going to be persecuted. But guess what? You're going to be blessed for that. There's going to be a joy in your life in spite of, you're not going to let anything separate you from the love of Christ. Anybody else's words, because you have tasted and seen how good God has been to you. So when you have got a taste of that, when you've got a taste of God and His goodness, His mercy, His grace, that's okay. Let them talk about you, because they talked about Jesus' words. You stay on that path to righteousness. You repent before God. You show others mercy. You keep going. Let them say what they want to say. Because God got you covered. Got you covered. So you gotta stay with Him. Don't let anything separate you. Yeah, I know you love your family. I know you love your friends. I know you love your coworkers. But don't let anything separate you from the love of Christ. Yours is going to be the kingdom of heaven. See, these things down here, those words down here, those are just temporary. Those things down here are temporary, but we have a permanent home that we're going to.
Hallelujah.
So that's what we, you may be persecuted. And like I said in the beginning of this, some people suffer for doing evil. You got to make sure you can distinguish between the two. That's punishment, not persecution.
Wow.
Okay, so you got to make sure that it's actually persecution happening and not punishment. Does anyone have anything to say about verse 10?
Wow.
Amen. Amen. So we're going to go on to verse 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. And that kind of goes along with verse 10. You know, they may ridicule you because you're a Christian. You know, they may talk about you. Their patience is going to be short with you, but that's okay because your patience is going to be long with them. They may, you know, say words against you, but you're not going to walk in anger. You're not going to walk in forgiveness. You're going to walk in patience. You're going to be humble. You're going to endeavor to do good because the Holy Spirit is going to remind you that I've got you covered. I've got your back.
Yes,
you may be talking,
yes,
but that's okay. That's okay. Does anyone have anything to say about verse 11?
I'll say something on this one. And with verse 11, and, you know, y'all can correct me if I'm wrong, but even when that comes, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. And I look at that because, as you were saying, in spite of, we still need to walk in peace and walk in patience. And with that that part comes with the mercy, understanding that, you know, God had mercy on us. So I have messed up, you've messed up, the next person messed up, but it seems like when someone else messes up, it's so hard for you to forgive them and move on and then throw it up. Well, you're supposed to be this, you're supposed to be that, but I have a human moment just like the apostle, just like the bishop, just like the evangelist, just like the missionary. So when you're persecuted on those kind of levels, it comes in with the mercy. So what? Like you just said, let them talk. But you won't find me in that place again. Why? Because I'm going to show you mercy because God showed me mercy. So I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed coming, going, and even, you know, however God does it. But like I said, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but verse 11, I feel as if it goes along with the mercy part. So you have to look at all the times you've messed up. Look at all the things you've done, but God still had mercy on you. Yes, he looked beyond our faults and he saw our needs, but we as Christians have to be able to keep this promise. Keep the promises of Jesus. Keep the promises that he has given us. Yes, I've had family members to say, oh, they so, you know, always in church. They think they this, think they that. No, you think I'm that, but God says I'm this, but that's all that matters. Because God is first. He's first in my life.
All right.
Amen. Amen. Okay, let's go to verse 12.
Before you travel on with your traveling shoes, that verse 11 also, I would just like to piggyback off my beloved. We can't. You know, the old saying is, and they taught us this in school, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt. Well, the truth of the matter is words can hurt. It depends on who it comes from. See, I've said down through the years, you know, at Praise Tabernacle, I've stated it for years. It doesn't, a person that I'm not married to really can't dictate, or it doesn't bother me if they say I'm not a good husband, but if my wife says I'm not a good husband, that's a problem. You know, people that are not my children, you know, they don't hold much weight if they say I'm not a good father, but if my children say I'm not a good father, that matters. People that I'm not their pastor, they, you know, really doesn't matter to me whether they say I'm a good pastor or not. I mean, you know, people like that, it just depends on what I preach on a Sunday, whether or not they think I'm a good pastor or not. But people that I am in covenant, in fellowship with, that they submit to me as their pastor, that matters.
Man.
Their word matters, okay? Their word matters. At the end of verse 11, it says, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. What I'm saying is you can't help what people say, just don't let it be true. Okay,
right.
You can't help what folks say. But it says here, evil against you falsely, meaning they lied on you. Okay, you know, when people will lie on you, people will scandalize your name, people will fault find you, and for no reason at all. But Jesus said that you are blessed when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you. This key word is here, falsely. Falsely.
Right.
Okay, for my sake. Yeah. So, children of God, saints of God, my brothers and sisters, keep doing right. If you know you're doing the right thing, if you're doing right, right stands for right. That's it.
Amen. Amen. Okay, we're going to go on to verse 12. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. That just lets you know that you're not the only one that's going to go through this.
Uh-oh.
Or have gone through this. Or will go through this. You're not by yourself. When you're feeling like you know, you at home and you upset and you hurt, just remember somebody else may be going through this same thing.
Yeah.
And you have a great reward in heaven, not out of debt, but out of grace. See, some people reward that you owe them something. But see, God's reward is not out of debt, but it's of grace.
Wow.
He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, paid everything for us. So our reward is going to be great because it's already been paid for. It's already been bought. All we got to do is accept it. All we got to do is accept it. And when we accept it, wow, we have such a great reward. So if you're going through something and you don't know how to handle it, somebody else has been going through that same thing. Search the scriptures to see how they handled it. Go into the Word of God. Go into prayer. Go into praise. Go into worship. That's going to help you get through it. Praise changes the atmosphere.
Yeah.
It changes the may not change the situation, but it can change the atmosphere, because then that joy can flow forward instead of that hurt flowing forward. Does anyone have anything to say about verse 12?
That's good. That's explanatory, isn't it?
Amen. So we're going to go down to verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, to be trodden under foot of man.
Yes.
So salt is a cancer. It enhances the flavor of whatever it's put on. The followers of Christ stand out as those flavor enhancers. So when we're around people, we're supposed to enhance people with the Word of God by being salt. Now, if we worry like the world worries, or if we have doubt like the world have doubt, then we're not going to have any flavor.
Right.
So what are we good for? We have got to make sure that as sons and daughters of the Most High God, to keep our flavor. We've got to keep our flavor because God has called us to be the enhancer to other people. There's a dying world out there. There's people that are looking and waiting for the Word of God, and you have it inside of you, but you're not sharing it with anybody. You're not telling anybody the hope for their life. You're not telling anybody that they can make it through this. You're not telling anybody, yes, they lost their job because of COVID, but God is going to see them through this. They may not know how it's going to be solved, but we've got to encourage. We've got to be salt to other people. We can't keep it to ourselves, because if we do, then what good are we for? We got to open up our mouths. This is Jesus. In the beginning of this passage, we have got to open up our mouths and speak to people.
and encourage people and build people up in the Word of God to let them know that they can come through. Does anybody have anything to say about verse 13?
Okay. I'm good, my sister. You're doing a great job.
Thank you. We're gonna go down. We're gonna do verse 14, 15, and 16 together. These are our last three verses. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. The purpose of light is to give light. We are the light of the world. We must fulfill the purposes by giving that light. The job description of a Christian is not only to maintain personal holiness, but also to touch the lives of everyone around us. Show your zeal. Show your fervency. Show your faithfulness. Show your sincerity in living the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Each of these can stand on its own. They're not just merely a collection of unrelated statements, just like First Lady was saying, that scripture connected to another one. They are linked in an unbroken chain, each one building on the previous truth. The first ones deal with the condition of the heart. The second set pertains to our relationship with the Lord, and the final group treats our relationship with others. Jesus always begins with the heart. So where's your heart today? Is it with the world? Is it living the life that's temporary, or do you want something more permanent? Begin there. Ask yourself that question. Ask yourself that question. Do I want temporary, or do I want permanent? Because the permanent will be forever. Does anyone have anything they would like to say before we close this out?
I refuse to stop you.
So as we end this Bible study, and I turn it back over to Pastor, I just want you to think about these blessings, the joy that you can have in your life just by receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Examine your heart. Examine your heart with your words. Today is a good day to live. That's when you really live in the life. Pastor, I'm turning it back over to you, sir.
All right. I tell you what, what a great Bible study. What some great expository teaching, line upon line and precept upon precept. Evangelist Stanton, you walked the book on tonight.
Woo!
You taught the book on tonight. We want to, I'll tell you what, I'm so excited. I'm so excited, so glad to be in the number and amongst the people of God. Remember before we close, remember things. That last scripture, just remember this. We don't do good works to be saved. We do good works because we are saved. And we do good works because we are saved. So remember, people are counting on you. The world is counting on you. We are the salt. We are the salt. And let's maintain our fervency. Let's maintain who we are and whose we are. Great teaching on tonight. Listen, just a couple of announcements for the rest of the week. Just a couple of announcements. Elder Oliver let us know just a couple of days, nights or so ago, that because the numbers are picking up on our Tuesday night Bible study, on our Wednesday night prayer, we had our first prayer last Wednesday, and we had such great response And then in the Friday night service, I think we had over 8,000 or so listeners just through our Chaos Blog Talk Radio on last week. So we want to thank y'all so much for tuning in mm-hmm. and for fellowship with Praise Tabernacle Church, because we had got so many good response about the prayer service on last Wednesday. We're going to do prayer tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. We will have our live prayer. We'll be live here on our radio broadcast, our radio station, and we will be live through our Facebook, just like we was on last week. So go ahead on. Get your names in. Get your family's names in so we can call out the names. And starting tomorrow night, once again at 7 o'clock, tune in to Bishop Omar Zachary Ministries and as we go before the throne of grace on your behalf tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Tune in to prayer. Amen. Last week we went about an hour and a half. Amen. Tomorrow we're going to try to go from 7 to about 7:45, no later than 8 o'clock. We want everybody to go ahead on and get your requests in. We got such a busy day on tomorrow. I got a wedding that we have to do tomorrow morning, tomorrow afternoon, should I say. We want to send a shout-out to Brother Debo and Sister Carla. They're going to be getting married at our main sanctuary on tomorrow. Amen. So we want to thank God. We'll be performing their wedding on tomorrow, probably around noon or early afternoon tomorrow. And then we'll be back here at our second location at 7 o'clock for our intercessory prayer service on tomorrow. And then Friday, I tell you what, Friday has been such a blessing. Bishop Omar Zachary Ministries will be back on Friday night at 7 o'clock. Amen. We're going to be preaching The Results Are In. The Results Are In. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor about Friday night. Tell them about tomorrow night at 7 o'clock prayer. Friday night, Bishop Omar Zachary Ministries will be back on at 7 o'clock. Amen. We'll have our praise and worship led by my precious wife, my family. And then the word for Friday night is going to be talking about the results are in. And I want you to know your results are in. It's final. The decision has been made. The paperwork is back. The test results are in. Tune in Friday night and find out what's being said about you. Tune in Friday night to find out what the results are concerning our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then on Sunday, Praise Tabernacle Church will be back at 11 o'clock with praise and worship and another word from the Lord. My brothers and sisters, be encouraged. We bid you Godspeed as we pray this final prayer and this dismissal. We pray that God will cover you, God will keep you, God will bless, heal, and deliver you. We pray for you in Jesus' name. We pray that you be strengthened, that your body be healed. We pray that as the word went forth on tonight, you seek the things of God, hunger and thirst after righteousness. And as always, before we leave this place, but never your presence, Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20, tells us to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. God bless you.
It's like you're looking through a telescope.